So I'm Allison Cohen, and yes, I am a doctoral student at UC Berkeley, just across the bay, and I'm interested in links between education and health. And so really this and I have no financial relationships to disclose. And so this presentation is driven, I think, by a lot of the same issues that we heard this previous presenter talk about in terms of looking at social determinants of health. And so there are two pieces of this. The first is reporting on a systematic review that looked at the relationship between educational attainment and obesity around the world, and then using what we found from that systematic review to inform a new look, looking at the relationship between educational attainment and obesity in the United States, using the National Longitudinal Survey for Youth. And then we'll talk about directions for further research. So just to get started in terms of why we want to be thinking about education and obesity in the first place, education matters. It's associated with a wide variety of health outcomes. Similarly, obesity matters. It's also a major health risk and has reached epidemic proportions in the United States. And importantly, when we think about all of these social determinants of health, education is a measure that we know pretty well how we can intervene to increase educational attainment and through policy levers. So to get started, we did a big, huge systematic review that found about 300 articles that reported on over 400 populations in 93 countries. And so as you can see from this map, the relationship between educational attainment and obesity has been studied mostly all over the world, with probably Africa being a major exception. Now, although there have been about 300 studies done around the world, a large proportion of them have been done in the U.S., so 76 of those studies have been done in the U.S. And what we also find is that the relationship appears to be both gender and country specific. So what we see is that in high-income countries, so an example of that would be the U.S., we see an inverse association for both genders. So that means that the more education you have, the less likely you're going to be obese. In upper-middle-income countries, we see an inverse association for women and a null association for men. So that means that in upper-middle-income countries like Mexico, there's no association observed between educational attainment and obesity for men in most of the studies. In lower-middle-income countries, which an example of which would be a country like Vietnam, you end up seeing actually a positive association in a lot of these studies. So that means that educational attainment, more educational attainment you have, the more likely you are to be obese. In low-income countries, so an example of which would be Madagascar, very few studies have been done. So what we see is that there's potentially some differences by gender, potentially some differences by economic status, but there are still also several gaps in the literature. So a lot of the studies that we were able to review systematically don't actually fully look at potential prior common causes or confounders that may affect or help explain the relationship between educational attainment and obesity that's observed. These studies also often fail to consider potential effect measure modification by race ethnicity. And I think the previous presenter did a good job in showing that there often is interaction by race ethnicity, and so that's something that's important to keep in mind as well. And then thirdly, a lot of these studies failed to consider alternate explanations for the relationship between educational attainment and obesity. So that includes trying to understand what it is about education that may be associated with obesity. So we decided to embark on a new look at the relationship between education and obesity. And so to try to address this gap of not fully looking at prior common causes, we are able to use a data set, the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, that includes measures of socioeconomic position, demographic factors across the life course. So we have factors from early life, from adolescence, from adulthood. A lot of studies also failed to consider interaction by race or ethnicity, and often that's because the study populations themselves don't have enough people to be able to look at that. So we also take advantage of having a diverse sample with substantive representation of whites, blacks, and Hispanics or Latinos. And then thirdly, kind of acknowledging that a lot of these studies haven't necessarily looked at alternate explanations, we are able to look at the potential role of educational aspirations, so that's how much education people want to attain, and educational expectations, which is how much people expect to attain. And so if you think about it, if when you were in high school, you may have decided, yeah, I definitely want to go to college, or I definitely don't want to go to college, and that, how much you want, that's the aspirations piece. And then you may have said, oh, well, everyone around me went to college, and so I'm going to go to college, or no one around me went to college, and so I don't think I'm going to be able to go to college, and that's the expectations piece. So this is how everything fits together. It's complicated, but I'm going to take you through it more slowly, but basically these are all of the different pieces of our research plan and how it maps onto a conceptual framework. So, but I already talked you through all of that, so don't get too intimidated. So if we think about the actual data set itself, the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth from the 1979 cohort is all publicly available data, so you too could do this exact same study if you were so inclined. We did both a complete case analysis, and then given the amount of missingness in the data, we also did multiple imputation analyses. And the results were similar, so I'm going to focus on the complete case analyses here, just so that you guys don't have to try to understand multiple imputation at 8:45 in the morning. And then the measure of association, we're calculating adjusted risk ratios using more complicated statistics that I'm happy to explain to anyone that's interested. And so our measures of interest were obesity at age 40. So that's another big advantage of this data set, is that we had information from people across their lifespans. And so the oldest age that they were all at the current time was age 40. And we use a binary variable, in part based on the literature that suggests that if you look at BMI, you may not have a linear relationship. And since both weight and height were self-reported in this survey, we did regression calibration based on a formula provided by NHANES to be able to account for that. And then our main exposure variable of interest is educational attainment at age 25, which is commonly used by the census as the age at which education typically has ceased. And again, we have a categorical variable of less than high school education, having graduated from high school or having graduated from college. So, as promised, our sample was diverse, both by gender and race ethnicity. So now we did several models that I'll walk you through first. So first, we look at the relationship between educational attainment and obesity, just controlling for gender and stratifying by race or ethnicity. Then we added in potential confounders from early life. So those are examples include birth year, the parental educational attainment, both maternal and paternal. If people lived in the South as a child, or lived in an urban setting, or spoke a foreign language at home, all as a child, so under 18. Then we have another model in which we look at potential confounders from adolescence. So that includes the intelligence measured as adolescence and their self-reported best friend's educational aspirations, kind of as a measure of peer effects. So then, in addition to having potential confounders, we were also interested in trying to understand the mechanism. So then we add in all of these potential mediators from adulthood, so things that might explain why educational attainment is associated with obesity. And those mediators include wealth, income, total family income, family size, number of dependents, marital status, and then again, living in the South and living in an urban setting as adults. We don't know if all of these are associated, but we wanted to put them in there just to make sure that those weren't going to be possible explanations. Then finally, we have another model in which we are able to look at if educational plans, so their educational aspirations and their educational expectations, may also confound the relationship between educational attainment and obesity. So in all of these different models, we're trying to explain away, basically, the relationship between educational attainment and obesity, or see if it persists. So that meant really a lot of big, complicated tables that fit onto two slides, because that's how complicated they are. But this gives us a bunch of risk ratios, and so what I'm going to do is focus on just one piece of those. So basically, from all of those tables, what we saw was that the mean across Blacks are African Americans, across Hispanic or Latino, and across white, Caucasian, and across all of these different combinations of educational categories. Really, the risk ratio that stands out is that we really only just see this relationship among whites. And really, we only see a difference between college grads and high school grads. And so in that, among whites, college grads are less likely to be obese than high school grads. And what's interesting is that that line where it says a zero is actually supposed to be a one. But what's interesting about this is that the relationship actually doesn't appear to change when you add all of these additional variables to try to explain this away. So remember when we went through this initial model, and I was telling you how we were going to add additional things each time. So this first line is the crude association, so that's just controlling for gender, which in our data set turned out to not be an effect measure modifier. And then when we also control for all of these variables from childhood, it barely changes. And again, when we control for these variables from adolescence, it barely changes. And then when we control for all of these additional mediators from adulthood, so things that we thought might explain away the relationship and actually bring it much closer to the null, again, it didn't actually budge that much. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the ones where the 95% confidence interval does cross the null, that's when we replaced educational attainment with educational aspirations. And so that's when we were just looking, are educational aspirations associated with obesity? And it turns out that they're not. And also educational expectations are not associated with obesity. And so that's interesting because a lot of people, when they've been talking about the potential relationship between educational attainment and obesity, have said, well, maybe it's just the type of people that get more education because they just have more drive, and so they also have more drive to have better health outcomes. Or it's the type of people, what actually matters is all of these social factors that are going to create barriers to education or going to promote education are also the same types of social factors that are going to have barriers or promote health. And so we're seeing that actually doesn't appear to be as plausible of an explanation. So with all of that in mind, we do see a nonlinear relationship between educational attainment and obesity that persists after controlling for this relatively large suite of confounders and mediators from across the life course. And again, interestingly, this relationship is only observed among whites, and there do not appear to be differences by gender. And what's, I think, probably one of the most exciting and interesting pieces about this is that this association does appear to be a function of actual attainment more so than educational aspirations or educational expectations. Now, very similar slide in terms of strengths and limitations, but so our major limitations were that height and weight were self-reported. And we know that those measures are biased, so we were able to use regression-calibrated measures, which take advantage of NHANES' work in which people both self-reported their weight and height and had it anthropometrically measured, and they were able to see the differences, and then we were able to use those formulas that they developed to basically control for and adjust for the self-reported height and weight. We also did a complete case analysis, which is never ideal because you don't know what the people who are missing were actually like. But fortunately, our multiple imputation results were similar. I think the main piece area for potential future research is that we were underpowered to test for three-way interaction. And I think that interaction between race, ethnicity, gender, and education is particularly worth considering. And then this is the Barron and Kenny approach to studying mediation when you put these variables into your model. Future research, we plan to use both causal mediation analytic techniques. There were limitations, but there were also a lot of strengths, right? And then we have a large, diverse, nationally representative sample, which is pretty exciting, that includes socioeconomic data from across the life course. And since this was a Bureau of Labor Statistics study, they do a very thorough job of measuring all of these socioeconomic factors. And we were able to follow the people were followed longitudinally across their lifetime. So I think this is something that the previous presenter had mentioned as well, but we're seeing race by education interaction. And trying to understand what that actually means, and thinking about the extent to which that may reflect differences in the quality of educational experiences, and also if we can use that to help us understand and identify potential mechanisms that may explain the association between educational attainment and obesity. And so one example is Lincoln Phelan's fundamental causes of disease framework, which suggests that these mechanisms may change over time and by context, which doesn't necessarily make this any easier, but again raises this as something that is worth thinking about. So with that, I'll conclude and mention that this research was supported by a National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities grant, which the number of which you can see here, and then I'll be happy to answer questions at the conclusion of the session.